Time now for the Hardline.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Whoa, unbelievable.
The Hard Line starts now.
Hey, welcome to the Hardline, 59 The Fan and 59thefan.com. If you cannot tell, I will be talking as little as possible
today. Been drinking this weekend?
So you guys are all welcome.
Sound like me.
You will want to stay tuned in. Part of it, honestly, I think I'm a little bit under the weather, but also I spent a lot of time yelling, not only at the secondary of Mizzou, but for the 40 points that Mizzou scored. It's probably a mixture there. 855-282-8255. Do we have anybody we need to free right now, Rock?
I think we're good right now.
Okay. Everybody's freedom has been granted. You guys are all welcome. I did see something pretty funny on the TMA fan page, Cam. It was, did you know they have billboards up? 590 billboards are up now? There's one off 370, I guess. Okay. And, some of them have your name, some of them, Jim Hayes, whatever, but that's not really what the argument was about. They were going, you know, talking about the names just as 590, you know, Frank Pinion, whatever. And somebody, they're arguing about different things, and then one guy comes in and says, fixed it, and it's just a plain white thing that says 590, and it says Hadley, sometimes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I'm going to have to check that bad boy out.
Yeah,
on good. Their fan page, you said?
Yeah, Hadley was supposed to be here, but you guys know how that goes. So.
No, he's got a meeting, 1-3.
Always. Every single day. It's at a restaurant.
Somebody's
got
to tell Randy that our show's at 1-3. You don't know that yet?
You know that he listens?
No.
The big talking Texan calls in every so often. I don't know.
Yeah,
Cam, are you monitoring the text line for us?
Yeah, I'm getting on it right now.
All right. Thank you. Rock is on that as well. Rock. You had a long day Saturday, so you did not make it out to the watch party, which, by the way, watch party was a lot of fun. I think we had my mom and dad came, they were hanging out. My mom said at one point she counted 60-plus in our little area there.
Oh, man, I wish I could have made it out there. Yeah, yeah. I had a round early, and it got hot really quick, so it was one of those days where I didn't drink nearly enough water. I didn't have anything to eat when I was out there on the course.
Oh, yeah.
So I had a splitting headache. I was all drained from the sun. So, like, I watched that first half, like, all the lights in my apartment off, just like curled up, just like gritting through gritted teeth. So I tried to take a nap during the second half, or tried to take a nap during halftime. And I tell you what, the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter were fun watch.
That was a great game.
Enlighten me on the third quarter, please. But other than that, it was a fun game. But yeah, I mean,
Mizzou could have lost that game too, man. That catch, I don't know.
They definitely could have.
I can't believe they called that back, that last end zone catch for
I think
Purdue.
It was the right call.
You think so?
Right, yeah, I do
he
think
caught
they got it right.
He dropped and caught it again, but when he landed, it seemed like it popped out a little bit, but you couldn't tell because his legs were in the way. They couldn't get a definitive a camera angle on it to really see if it popped out.
Yeah, so I told the that's a good observation. I told the guy I was sitting next to, Roy, who's been out to a few of the watch parties. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if this goes either way, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's enough there, but they got it right. But they didn't necessarily have 100% evidence to be. What they could have easily hid behind the call on the field stands, and yeah, Nobody would have been too surprised by that. They got it right. The ball did hit the ground without full possession, so he double caught it, and you thought he had it. His problem was his left hand came off the ball as he was landing,
and it fell, and the ball had a lot of contact with the ground, and
yes,
it kind of bobbled a little bit. That's why they called it?
Yes.
Okay.
So if his left hand had stayed on the ball, I guarantee you that would have been called a catch.
Yeah.
But his left hand slid off the ball and just came off the ball entirely.
Hell of a play.
He still had his right hand there. That, by the way, was Adam Sparks' brother. We talked about that matchup a little bit. His brother's a starting receiver for Purdue.
That was a hell of a catch, man.
Was.
That was a great game. That was a great game overall.
Oh,
really
it hurt,
was,
though. You know,
that aged you, didn't it?
By the way, Barry Odom is coming on the program at 2:30, so we'll be able to ask him some questions and such about some of the decision-making. They were very aggressive on fourth down. That was a big change from what we had seen prior. We watched them punting at the opponent's 40 for the first couple games. They were going for it at their own 40 this game. So that was a big change. I was glad to see that. And also, that there's a list of questions here. I actually put my stuff... By the way, our that Facebook group that I started is cranking. There were, over the last 28 days, we've had... And I should check it right now. Last I checked, it had 85,000 interactions.
Oh, yeah. People are fired up.
I'll tell you what, they are not happy about the defense.
No, they're not pleased.
They are livid about the defense. And I honestly can't blame them because... I mean, this is a quarterback. It's not like this is a guy who has been like tearing up lower competition, and then he finds a way to get it done with his own team. He's not the starter on his own team. When he has gotten in, he's done nothing. The passing game for the team, even with has been against Northwestern and it was Central Michigan,
Eastern
Michigan, was non-existent, and yet that somehow they tear you apart like that.
Hey,
it's
man,
concerning. That's the bottom line.
It's hard to get in a rhythm when you're a two quarterback system.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get tape on everybody when they're playing too, you know, TJ. That's the really difficult part.
That's right. Okay, so in the last 28 days now, we've had 92,000 interactions. So if you're interested in talking Mizzou, I would suggest joining that group. It is called the TJ Moe Mizzou Group. I was very creative. I took a lot of time to come up with that name. And so there it is, the TJ Moe Mizzou Group. If you guys want to go hang with a lot of other Mizzou fans. Go ahead.
Get an early comment here on the text line from Catfish. TJ, D-line Zoo is dead. Was it all Craig Kuligowski?
Interesting question. D-line Zoo right now is young. Because remember, the only D-line Zoo that you can recall probably is from the interior is Sheldon. Otherwise, it's all a bunch of defensive ends. I mean, go around Alden Smith, Jaquie Smith, Shane Ray, Michael Sam, Marcus Charles Golden, Harris. Charles Harris, Coney Ely. These are all defensive ends we're talking about. So their best players right now are all in the interior defensive line. And Pro Football Focus does grading on all these guys. They're grading out very well. The defensive tackles are outstanding. But unless you're Aaron Donald, you're not – like, how many pass-rushing defensive tackles are there in the world? None. Right? Aaron Donald gets the quarterback, no problem. He'll swim moving in the backfield. Terry Beckner Jr. had a nice pressure, but obviously didn't get a sack. I will say this. Purdue's offensive line held legitimately every play. And it wasn't like the normal, hey, they hold on every play. It was like they were tackling guys and it was not being called. That was a very poorly officiated game. But you still got to get pressure.
Come on now, TJ. This was a Big Ten football game. This is a Big Ten team on the other side. I mean, I can't imagine it would be poorly officiated.
It was rough. I will say this, and I'm going to ask Odom this today. If your secondary is getting burned anyway, I mean 570-plus yards burned, why don't you just send seven anyway? Like, they were rushing three sometimes, dropping eight, and they'd still catch the ball for 40 yards. So if that's happening anyway, let's go ahead and bring the house. Like, at least try to get the quarterback off the spot. He's not a particularly mobile guy, and you can hopefully get enough pressure on him quickly enough to either get a sack, put him in second and 18, or get him to make a risky throw and have a chance to make a play on the ball, because what was happening is they were running right by you. And I don't know, we're going to ask him this today, if it's more mental errors or physical errors. If it's physical errors, to be honest with you, I'm more worried, because physical errors oftentimes is code for their guy's better than our guy, and we can't coach that. You know, it's like if a guy crosses you up, good luck. You can't coach that. You can teach better technique, but some dudes just got it and some guys don't. E.J. Gaines had it. You teach him all technique in the world, E.J. would run with you. Good luck putting a move on E.J. You know, he just had it. There are other guys that I knew I could cross up any day. But put me one-on-one with him on third and anything, and I got him. I don't know the answer to that. I know our guys were trailing by 2, 3, 4 yards oftentimes. Typically, a mental error means you're trailing by 9 yards because you blew an assignment. There weren't a lot of blown coverages. There were a lot of you just got beat. So is the answer to go straight man-to-man? Because they went a lot of zone. Is the answer to go straight man-to-man and bring a lot of pressure? It might be. And that might be the answer here with Georgia. Now,
at the same time, though, if you're already getting beat and it's not mental mistakes, it's just you're getting beat physically, isn't that going to be exacerbated most of the times in a man-to-man coverage? Even if you do maybe get a little bit more pressure. I mean, if you're just getting beat physically,
a little more pressure if you're bringing seven.
That's true.
If you're bringing seven, your hope is, yeah, they might still beat you, but that means unless he's going straight back or you're doing max protect, he's getting the ball out on his first or second step. And then it's just a toss-up. Can you go up and make a play on the ball? Because they don't have time for route development. The guys... So the Drew Lock touchdown, that was actually, I think it was to Jonathan Johnson, where he sat back there for like 6 or 7 seconds, they were doing the same thing on the other side.
Yeah. Sit, and that's why I wonder if you're not getting, if you're getting just toasted by a quarterback in a passing game, I've always wondered what is the thought process that goes from what you said they did, which was let's drop eight, only rush three, and let's just see if we can just get enough hands in lanes and zone it to just make it difficult. Or the thought process, bring everybody and force the quarterback to make a quick decision and hope that because it's a quick decision, it's not going to burn you even though you got guys out on the island. I wonder how do defensive coordinators, especially in the college game, balance those two things when you're just getting just eaten up?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the answer is depends on their own personal philosophy much more than it is situational. Then the situational probably has to do with if they've seen the quarterback handle pressure well, right? Like, blitz Tom Brady, good luck. Tom Brady's going to have the ball out of his hands, and now you have three less guys in the secondary to tackle the guy that has the ball. There are other guys, Ryan Tannehill, who get pressure and make bad decisions. And at the college level, typically it's get pressure and make bad decisions. If I were Barry Odom this entire week, because it's not like you can't just implement blitzes. You can put an entire blitz package in a day. It's not going to be executed properly, but because I'll tell you, there were weeks where we went on offense and we would put in 19, 25 plays on Tuesday, on our install day. New plays, new schemes. Go home and learn these. Know them by practice at that, because that Monday's off. You have like an NCAA required mandated day off, and that's all media stuff. They will come talk to you on Tuesday, and in the morning you have a meeting at 7 o'clock, and they will hand you a packet that says, here is the new offense for this week. Here, there's 19 new plays. We still have everything we've ever run, but here's 19 new plays. The defense can do the same thing. Hey, dude, we're going to town on this blitz. So it's not just like, you know, we're going to do a double plug A-gap thing. We're going to town. So we're going to do some Greg Williams cross TT, you know, bring the middle linebacker in the B gap type stuff.
Is it harder to incorporate coverage in that sort of time with coverage packages as opposed to blitz packages? Is that
well,
more difficult?
You're talking about zone, because otherwise it's just man.
That's true.
Yeah, zone blitzes are tougher than man blitzes, but you can make anything look like anything, right? The whole idea is behind blitzing is not just to get the pressure, but yes, exactly. Disguise and confuse the opponent. Entire
point. Tell me more about that double plug A-gap. A friend of mine wants to know.
I just think somebody sent the words gap and plug or something like that.
Double plug A-gap,
yeah. That's all,
I just got
all
a couple texts from my buddies. I know
Gibby, this is a good point. Gibby texts again. Mizzou was missing DeMarcus Acy on defense. He would have helped a lot with the pass defense. I think was that the first play or the first drive he goes down?
Yes. Yeah, so
How much do you change your opinion of the Mizzou defense knowing that they're missing one of the better starters in a defensive backfield that in the first place probably isn't that good?
Mostly not at all.
Right.
Because if they just went after one guy and got burned over and over and over and over again, that's one thing. They didn't. Half the time they were beating linebackers.
And I'm pretty sure is Hilton's AC's a replacement? No.
Hilton's a safety.
Is he the other safety? Okay.
No, Christian Holmes was
Christian
in there.
Holmes, that was it.
A lot of it. And also Petrie is his name or something. He got burned for about 50 yards in like the first play that AC was out. AC's certainly better. But Christian Holmes actually played fairly decent in comparison to the rest of the defensive backfield. They were all getting burned. It's 570 yards. Everybody got burned, right? Don't tell me one guy is responsible for... Like, typically, like if you can hold a quarterback to... 204. Like, if you said, hey, we held him 240 passing yards, it'd feel pretty good. 300 passing yards is still like a plateau of like, yeah, he threw for 300 yards. You can hold him to 240 or so. You're like, yeah, he didn't throw for that many yards. He actually probably played fairly well. They got 570. So you're telling me one guy in this case would be responsible for 330 yards. I just think that's probably not that accurate.
Cam Lafferty Daniel asked us to change his name to Harrison's brother master.
Yeah.
Can you suss out? I don't. What's the joke here? What is here? I'm trying to figure out.
It has something to do with
Harrison's brother master
and Batering something. But he changed it himself. So you did your thing. I gave you the A-OK though.
See, I like how now we can't get everyone to give us an original name, but now people with names are telling
us.
Well,
he asked me to change it, but he was able to do it himself, so it's kind of a waste of time to ask me that.
He was able to do it himself?
Yes, he changed it. Look,
like the 618, like the 618 came after you again, Cam, and I'm wondering why he isn't telling us a name for him.
I didn't even say anything yet. What's he
creepy.
Got?
It was creepy. Cam, I recently read your bio and discovered your favorite date night movie is The Human Centipede. So that being said, what part of the centipede chain would you like to be with TJ Rock and Hansel?
Probably the very front.
Think so?
I mean, that's the only one that's not.
That's going to hurt one way or the other, yeah. I guess. It's a nasty ass movie. You ever see that?
Weird movie.
Oh my good God. Gross. Yeah, but I'll be in it.
And on that point, Cam, you awake? Gino Ojik from Beeble.
I'm in a weird one today, boys. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm awake, Gino. Jesus. Thank you.
The line for the game is 14.5, and the zoo is the underdog at home.
Yeah, I'd say that's more than fair.
It opened at 14, went up to 15.5, and came back down. I'd be surprised if it doesn't close around 17.
Yeah, me too.
Mainly they got a shot, dude.
They do have a shot.
Yeah.
They do have a shot.
At the same time, if I had to like put a bet down on what the score of this game would be, I'd probably say something like 41-20, like 41-20 or 41-21, something like that. Like, that's why.
Like, what the TJ game
saying,
was.
TJ saying it going up 17.5 is exactly what I would expect.
Like, the game was supposed to be against Purdue.
I think this is a 3-possession game.
We were supposed to win by 20 points. You had something down like that, right?
Said that. The line was 5.
Oh, the line was 5, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vegas always knows somehow. I don't get it.
Their quarterback
they know.
Played really well, man. He was all over the place.
He did.
Broke some records this thing.
Yeah, he did. Big
he was
Ten.
On.
Like, the history of the Big Ten records.
Dude, he was on, man. He
yeah,
was doing his
I'm
thing.
Interested in to see, because this is one thing I was bringing up on Twitter earlier today. In 2003, Rock, we were just little tykes, but in 2003, Mizzou went to Kansas and got shellacked, 35-14. Next week, they turn around and beat a top 10 Nebraska team for the first time in 25 years.
Funny how that is, eh? Tighten a couple things up. Another big play in that game.
Mind you, that was a Nebraska team where they had to pull out some stops to win. They had a fake field goal to pretty much win it. Brad Smith had to run for three and have a receiving touchdown too. They had to pull some stops to beat that Nebraska team. And something tells me, Mizzou wants to beat Georgia like this. It's going to have to come with some touchdowns that are not offensive.
I will say this though,
much like
there was a little brother syndrome with Nebraska that doesn't exist here. And secondly, I think most people would tell you this Mizzou team probably beats that one.
Yeah. I'd say so.
So last game, there's a big play that screwed Purdue so bad. There was they just got the momentum. Mizzou was about to punt the ball. It was in the fourth quarter. They didn't have everybody lined up right. Purdue.
Oh yeah.
Then the dumbass comes on the field during a punt play. Which, if you're not on the field, just stay out of it.
Coach sent him on the field.
Oh, the coach did.
That always happens. You don't just run out there
on a punt.
They say, "Where the hell are you?"
Get out there. And he goes in to get a penalty, start that over first down. I think they scored a touchdown on it.
That happened to me in a blowout one time my freshman year. They're like, TJ, get your stupid ass out there.
On a punt, though. Stay away.
That's different. Right. Exactly.
Who cares?
Nothing was going to happen. You're right.
Oh, my God. They had all the momentum back down the first down. They're on probably the 45-yard line or whatever, maybe the 50-yard line or whatever it was. Yep. I mean, they're right there.
No, you're exactly
completely
right.
Completely turned the game around. You got to keep your defense out there. They're already tired as all hell. That could have been the turning point. Obviously, that big catch was a big deal as well. But little plays like that add up in a football game.
I think you're exactly
isn't that
right.
crazy? Oh, dude!
I think you're exactly right.
So the coach screwed that up. Get out there!
Look, that's my guess. It's a rarity that a player just like forgets, throws his helmet on, and goes running
right out there. Right, yeah, that was dumb.
Dumb.
Yeah, I don't know that for a fact. But
that's most likely the case.
I had Mizzou -5, and I watched Coach Odom mouth. Do not score. Do you understand me? Do not score. I was very upset about that.
Yeah, you and Clay Travis both. And a lot of betting people were freaking out.
And do you know what? This is going to be the bad beat of the freaking year. Alabama has 56 combined at half. The over-under is 71. And they just call off the dogs when they get to 69. Bro.
Mm.
I lost two games on that. I would have been in the green there. I'd have been in the green, Cam.
I believe we're getting a suggestion for the next segment from Harrison's brother, Master. He says, Cam, Blues talk, please. Mizzou isn't beating Georgia.
Ooh, well, they could. I just asked TJ that. Anything's possible with this, man.
Rocky, you wouldn't disagree with that. The reason I say they could is because the offense can score on anybody, and Drew Lock is perhaps that good. It's not because I've seen anything defensively, although I think the front seven's decent. DeAndre Swift may be out.
I think especially in college football, you've seen that. If you can take a game to the point where you might be playing – you know, first to 45 wins, that you can even the scales if you're not as talented of a team a little bit.
Right.
So if you – and that's – Mizzou's offense at that point where they can make this a first to 45 wins, mm-hmm. and that changes the complexion of this game. Even though Georgia, obviously, after watching what Purdue did, you think they're going to be able to get to 45 pretty easily. It's not like this Mizzou offense makes you think that they can't hang with them in a shootout.
Mizzou, with Drew Locke's attitude, can score on anybody. It will be Odom's job this week to scheme up a blitz to create some turnovers to give them some padding. They have to start really fast. They mm-hmm. need to jump out to a lead. I mean, that, look, go back, Oklahoma 2010, what happened? Took the kickoff return for a touchdown to start the game, and now we got all the momentum. Even if they're a better team, we're up 7-0. Let's play. And I don't think they were a better team, and that's partially why we won. They still might have been a better team, but I didn't think they were. And the guys down in that locker room better not think Georgia's a better team, whether they are or they're not. You got to think.
Well, it helps when you get a nice touchdown off the bat like that, man. It really does. Scoring the first goal or whatever the case is, you get your confidence up. Everybody's on board.
That's exactly right.
South City Stoner. Hey, TJ, the only thing with more holes in it than the Mizzou secondary is Iggy's stories.
That's true. That's true.
Accurate comparison. And then Gino Ogic from Vivo Mail, and his usual positive upbeat self.
Oh, God.
Says Missouri can't beat Georgia, and they'll be lucky to keep it within 20.
Maybe.
Yeah, you could be right
about
that.
A lot of negativity.
That.
Maybe.
But I can't blame him.
Vegas thinks you're wrong, though.
Yeah, they won't be able to keep it within 14, but hey.
Right.
It's a big difference, Gino.
Cam, tell me about the brew house, would you, bud?
Yeah, well, you want to get good food? You go there.
Right now?
Yeah, we're right next door. I could hit it with a rock if I wanted to. If you want to watch any game, NHL package, NFL package on 4K TVs that are all over the place, come to Kirkwood Brew House.
Yeah, please.
Do you like nice burgers? Do you like candied bacon? It's just unbelievable.
Do
you like 27 crafted local beers on tap?
I do.
I do in one sitting.
Yeah. What about
come to the Kirkwood Brew House. Do you like to watch
salmon?
Me and Matt Rocchio and TJ Moe do their thing? Do our thing in the studio while you can sit back and watch 4K TVs while you eat and check us out as well? When me and TJ don't have shirts on?
What about a hot dog with no
Kirkwood
buns?
Brewhouse.
What about a hot dog with no buns?
Yeah, like that's a John Hadley thing.
Okay.
And, like, they don't even make hot dogs. John just pisses them off and like brings hot dogs from 7-Eleven and they have to cook. It's just ridiculous. Look, don't order a damn hot dog when you go to Kirkwood Brew. There's a million other things. You got the burgers. You got the salmon.
Get the salmon.
The salads are great. Everything. The food is fantastic. The people that work there are lovely. The people that go in there are hilarious. Oh, there's always a couple regulars me and TJ always talk to when we go in there. Funny as all hell. Cool people. Great patio. Come say hey to us as well. That's the Kirkwood Brew House for you.
Thanks, bud. We got to go to break. We will talk some hockey on the other side here. This is the Hardline.